For the last couple of weeks, we've been doing a project on Tuesday evenings out in a cafe in town, All Dates at the Handlebar, which has just been, a kind of stepping outside the walls of the church and meeting people who are not churchgoers at the moment, who friends from this church bring, and just bringing them into an evening where we tell stories about God's transforming power. And it's been really delightful, very fruitful. And two of the most brilliant talks have been given by our next speaker, one on freedom and one on beauty. So our next speaker is Marie Ovyaspan, who is from Russia. Of Sepien, I'm so sorry, Marie. I just call you by your first name. Maria is a Ocker Research Fellow with our ZIM, and she's part of the 6pm congregation. And you went to America, I believe, as a Fulbright Scholar. You're now doing a DPhil here, is that correct?
Right.
Yeah?
Yes.
Great. Okay, so Marie is here, and she's going to speak to us on God's presence.
Thank you. Good afternoon, family. It's a real privilege to have an opportunity to share with someone who's actually a family. I mean, we have this whole big global church that is a family. This is my first time actually sharing with a community that is my own church, and I think this is a very special opportunity. I would like to start, if you don't mind, by anchoring our hearts in God's word. So let us read Psalm 130. I'm going to read it to us, and you just try to focus your heart on how it speaks to you, what the Lord's Spirit is saying to you. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. What I would like to share with you tonight is something that this psalm triggered in my heart. It's a journey, it's a story, and I know it probably is a bit of a bad idea to bring a group of people after a wonderful lunch and tell them a story. So if you find yourself nodding off, at least try not to snore. That would probably be the most polite thing you can do. But as I start my story, as I start this journey, I wonder if any of you might be familiar with this image. Yes? Le Petit Prince, right? The Little Prince, the story of the Little Prince. Some of you who have been at the Handlebar, some of you already actually heard. I do come from Russia. I grew up in Russia. I promise you I'm not a Russian spy, although every time I say that, people think I'm double bluffing, so probably doesn't matter whatever I say here. But my grandfather, he's a pilot, and you know that Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, the writer who brought the wonderful story of the Little Princes, is also a pilot. So this was the story that my grandfather read to me when I was a child, and since then the wonder and the beauty of it was so that it just drew me back to it pretty much every year. So it's hardly been a year, hardly been a winter actually, that I haven't read the story. And last year I found myself, just as I read it, I sensed the Lord speak to me. And it was as I was looking at this picture. For those who don't know, the story is about this little boy, little prince, who lives on a very small planet. And because it's very small, you know, it kind of rotates quite quickly. You know, and so he can watch the sunset pretty much anytime he wants. How cool is that, right? So there is a point where he meets this pilot who ended up in the desert on planet Earth, and they have this interesting conversation where the little prince says, you know, I really like watching sunsets. Every time I'm sad, I go and I watch a sunset. One time, I watched a sunset 46 times. running, and the author, the pilot, looks at him and says, "Oh, I guess you must have been really, really sad that day." And you know, last year, almost exactly this time of the year, as I read this book over again, I actually found myself feeling like this little prince. I found myself feeling very, very sad because so many dark things have been happening in our world, right? And I guess it's not just that time of year, I guess it's every day that we might say that a lot of dark things are happening around the world. And what I wonder when I think about those things, when I pray, when I cry my heart out to the Lord about the darkness we're facing on a daily basis, I wonder, how do we keep being the presence? How do we keep focusing on the presence of the Lord? How do we stay away from that compassion fatigue that I think many of us are struggling with today? And as I prayed about that, I felt like the Lord gave me a challenge, and this is the journey that I'm going to share with you tonight. He invited me to join him in, how he put it in my heart, chasing the light. And interesting, right? It's 46 sunsets that the little prince was watching. And for me, the Lord said, it's 46 days in the Lent, at least that was last year. Why don't you join me chasing the light for 46 days? Let's go and watch 46 sunrises. Let's meditate on the light. And so that's what I did, and that's kind of the journey that I want to share with you. I want to share some of the little things that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and that I feel he wants to share with you today. So one of those things was, as you start thinking of the light, and I guess my first morning was a little bit underwhelming because, you know, we're in the UK, so if you're trying to watch the sunrise around this time of year, I don't know if any of you have tried, there's not much to see, let me tell you. It's just gray, and then it gets a little less gray, and then a little less gray than that, and that's pretty much it. But as I looked at that, there was this strange thought that came to my heart. It was like, how does the darkness actually affect us? What does the darkness do to our minds, our souls, our bodies? And I think there are different ways it affects us, right? One of the ways is probably the most common we can think of, that thinking back to our childhoods, it's fear, right? Like when it's dark, we have this primal fear response. Confusion is another one. And as I was thinking about that, you know, I often try to kind of measure the spiritual temperature of the culture, the society, by just, you know, checking what are the things that are read, or what are the things that are actually sold on Amazon, the top Amazon list. And it was really interesting around this time last year, around election time, it was this curious phenomenon called Trump bump. Anyone heard of that? It's like the hashtag Trump bump thing. And curious enough, the top bestseller on Amazon reading list was George Orwell's 1984. Anyone wants to guess what was number two? Nope. Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. And number three, any feminists in the room want to guess? Handmaid's Tale. So you look at that list, and I guess the question that you're asking yourself is, if this is what people are reading, if this is what's going on in the culture, what is the motivation? What is this kind of move that leads people to read those things? And I think that is fear, that is that confusion, that is that sense of groundlessness, you know, kind of not feeling that rock under their feet. I think there is something that is even scarier than that. And that is the numbness. That is that sense of compassion fatigue. And that is what I feel like, as I prayed for today, I felt like God wants to warn us against that compassion fatigue in our hearts. So what is that? I think of that in terms of the spiritual melatonin. You know, melatonin is this hormone that actually is a very good thing. It allows our bodies to go into sleep. When it gets dark, it is released in our bodies. It's a great thing. The problem is when something goes wrong with that. The problem is when we have this overdrive of that hormone in our bodies. The problem is when that starts affecting our spirits and we go into that spiritual slumber. We start losing something. And I think darkness leads us to that place very often. There is a poet by the name of Richard Sykin, an American poet I deeply, deeply love. He's quite a dark poet, to be honest, but he gets onto something in the culture. He really hits on this deep, deep core and longing that I think that we need to tap into if we want to share what God's love is all about. And there's this line where he says, "I take my sadness to the river, and I throw it in the river, but then I'm left with a river. I take my sadness and I throw it in the river, but then I'm left with my hands." And as I think about that, God has given me such a longing and desire to see people come to Christ. I feel this sadness, this overwhelming grief, because I realize that these are the people walking the streets with that sadness. And then once I remember myself being that person with that sadness, with my hands, with that river, never going anywhere, day after day, month after month, year after year, that makes you numb. In that journey of chasing light, God brought me to Pusey House last year. It was the service of shadows, Tenebrae, that was one of the most incredible, profound things I probably ever experienced in my life. You start the service in this lit cathedral, candles everywhere. And then you start the journey of passion with Christ. And with every new step in that journey of Christ's passion, Christ's suffering, one of the candles is put out, then one more. And by the end of it, when you end up at the place where Christ is put on the cross, all you're left with is one candle. And then it is taken away. And you're just left in that dark, dark cathedral. And you know, family, I think that was the first time in my life, and I've walked with Christ closely for 12 years now, but that was the first time in my life I actually physically felt what it meant when it says in the word of the Lord that the great darkness descended. And you know what is even more intense when you think about that? You realize that people who don't know Christ, they live in that darkness daily. There is no other experience that they know. There is no other reality that there is there. And as I thought about that, I felt like this renewal of this longing and desire to understand what it means to know God's presence, what it means to carry God's presence, what it means to be God's presence. Because that's why we're here today, right? That's the only reason we actually care and gather together. It's not just a hospital for the broken, right? The church is the place where we're filled and we're carried forward. I want to share this little photo with you. Some of you might recognize it is from a performance by Marina Abramovich, one of my favorite performance artists. This one is called "The Artist is Present." If you have never seen it, I beg you, please go online. We have no time to just watch all of it, obviously, today. But if you just go online, go on YouTube, find that performance. It is incredible. This artist, who's not even a Christian, just came up with this idea that she would come into the room, and for 24 hours, she would just be present. She would just be available for anyone who needed that presence. And magical, beautiful things start happening. Just simple people walking through MoMA in New York, stopping by, sitting across from her, and just experiencing this human presence. And I wonder if this is what happens when just one merely human being decides to be present, how much more can happen if we, being the carriers of the presence of the real artist, allow him to be fully, fully present in us. I'm going to show you a video, and I apologize to those of you who might feel that this kind of stirs some dark memories from the past, but hey, I'm Russian. I'm gonna bring a lot of that stuff before we kind of go on the way out. It's the video from 2 years ago after the Paris attack, and this is the video that God used to bring back that memory of what it means to be a real presence, and I want to share it with you.
Les méchants, c'est pas très gentil, les méchants. Et il faut faire vraiment attention parce qu'il faut, il faut changer de maison.
Non, ne vous inquiétez pas. Pourquoi vous avez changé de maison? C'est la France en maison.
Mais il y a des méchants partout.
Oui, mais il y a des méchants partout. Il y a des méchants partout.
Ils ont des pistolets, ils peuvent nous tirer dessus parce qu'ils sont très très méchants.
Ah oui, c'est du soleil ou des fleurs.
Bah les fleurs, c'est pas rien, c'est pour.
C'est rien, c'est pour nous des fleurs.
Oui.
C'est pour combattre le soleil.
C'est pour protéger.
Ouais.
Et bouger aussi.
C'est pour ne pas oublier les gens qui sont partis. Hein.
C'est pour nous protéger.
So the reason this video is very, very important to me and I wanted to bring it here today is that moment when this little boy, so sad, comes to his daddy saying, you know, here we are, you know, everything went wrong, everything that could go wrong went wrong, what's next? And his father says, yes, there are these bad guys with guns, but the flowers and the candles are here to protect us. And I think there is something so profound and so beautiful in that response, and in those flowers and candles. And just think of that, you know, God is calling us to be salt and light, and that's exactly that message, the message of presence, the message of that subtle but strong and unmistakable presence. You always know when the flowers are in the room, right? The fragrance will tell you, even if your eyes might not find them right away. The candles, they bring that light, they bring that warmth, they bring that shimmer, they bring that sense of comfort and hope. You always know when they are in the room. And I think as we have that powerful access to the artist that is present, the Holy Spirit is present. I always think it's so interesting when we pray and we say, come Holy Spirit, and part of me says and agrees with that, and part of me always wonders, why do we say that? Because he is here. He's never not here. He's God with us all the time, always, as Emily Berry once said, and now I quote that to everyone everywhere. He is God with us all the time, always, wherever we go. Wherever we go, nothing can take away his presence from us, nothing. Nothing, 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 no mountains, no rivers, nothing. And so we have this incredible privilege to be the physical presence of the Lord. Now, how do we do that? And what prevents us from this? And this is the part where just I felt like God was speaking to me most, was some of you might recognize this place. Yes? No? Cornwall, the wonderful, magical place of light, right? Where the light is so special, where all of the artists around the world are streaming to paint the light. And it was my friend during that Lenten journey of chasing the light who decided to surprise me and take me on this little weekend journey without telling me where she was taking me. And there we go, that was Cornwall. Well, when I saw the light, of course, the first question I had as a bit of a geek was, why is the light so special? I mean, it is special, unmistakably. What makes it so special? So instead of just enjoying it, I was like there on my phone, Googling, checking what makes the light special in Cornwall. And anyway, the answer is very simple. It's pure. That's it. The light is so special because the air in Cornwall is so pure. This is it. And so I think there is a lesson for us there. That's why God is so strong about the purity. It's not just some crazy law that he wants, some crazy rules that he wants from us. He just wants us to be pure so that his light would shine through us. Second thing is Leonard Cohen's famous cracks, right? Everything has a crack. This is how the light gets in. And this is the man I met here in Oxford at Pitt Rivers Museum. He was doing a little installation and lesson of the art of kintsugi, the art of fixing broken pottery, bringing that light, bringing that gold, this touch of gold back into the brokenness. And I felt like the Lord told me, Marie, don't hide your brokenness. Don't pretend that you're not broken. Be real, be vulnerable, be honest. This is how the light gets in. This is how the light shines out. I was so impressed, went back home, and that year I lived with two friends in North Oxford, in Cutslow, next to Cutslow Park, which was beautiful, but the house was very old, practically falling apart. And there were a lot of cracks in it. So I got some golden paint, well, not real gold, just paint, but did the job, covered all the cracks with gold. And as I did that, I just prayed that this would be the place of healing, the place of vulnerability, the place where we can become real. And saw beautiful things, saw people coming together in that room that year, and healing breaking out, and reality of that experience of God's light coming to us. And finally, the lesson, the final lesson that God taught me in that Easter journey of chasing his light was coming back on Easter day. I was away on Easter morning. I was in Germany at the IFES conference, and it was amazing. It was the most beautiful sunrise I've experienced, because right after that, we gathered together with all of these students from all around Europe, praying and singing in all the different languages. I think there was even Russian song at some point. It was amazing. But in my heart, I knew the Spirit was telling me to go back home, that there was a final lesson in that Easter journey waiting for me here at St. Aldate's. And I came back literally 6 p.m., got off the bus, came in here. It was a wonderful service. But I didn't hear what I was waiting for. And as I was walking out, I turned around and kind of listened. I was like, Lord, you said there was something waiting for me. He was like, look at the stained glass window. And I looked at that amazing stained glass window, which I recently had a conversation with Charlie about, because it just fascinates me. And I noticed something I never noticed before. I noticed that as it was getting darker outside, getting closer to the evening, the light was still bright on the inside. And for the first time, I realized that in order to see the stained glass window pattern from the outside, it has to be dark, but it has to be light in here. And this was the final thing that I wanted to leave with us before we move into the time of prayer, is that as we come together, there is something very special about that gathering of people who are pure and who acknowledge their brokenness and who come together into this amazing pattern, because that's what stained glass is in and of itself. It's a bunch of broken pieces coming together, which some artists tell me that's what makes a stained glass stronger than any normal glass. But you will not see that pattern on the outside right now. You will see it in the evening when it gets dark, but the light is strong on the inside, and we need to keep that light strong on the inside. I'm gonna move into some time of prayer and reflection right now, but the very last thing as I prayed before coming up here, I felt like the Lord reminded me of something, and that something was what I believe each Christian in this room and everywhere in the world has, and that is the calling of Mary. That is the calling to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, fill our innermost being. That is the calling to carry the Spirit of God in us and allow it to grow and shape. And then it's the calling to give birth to the unique expression of Christ. Each person in this room has a calling to give birth to the unique expression of the Son of God. And how much more happens when we gather together as the body of Christ, bringing that unique expression of God into this world. As we focus on his presence and allow his presence to fill us, we become the candles and the flowers and salt and light that is there to protect, that is there to care, and that is there to love. I'm gonna play a little piece right now just for a minute and pray and leave some time for us to have a moment of reflection before the band comes back. Spirit, we thank you for your presence with us here. We thank you that we're never, ever alone. And whatever we're going through right now, and whatever we're wrestling with, we don't have to numb or pretend it's not there. We can focus on your presence and allow your presence to fill our bodies. And just pray that as we come to you and give you our whole being, you would honor that and you would fill us. And you would allow us to be the real presence of your light in this world. In your name, Jesus, we pray.